Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Next Stage Press podcast. I'm your host, Gene Cato, and very excited about this new series that Next Stage Press is going to launch in an effort to try to bring some new voices in the theater out into iTunes. So if you enjoy this podcast, we ask that you just share this with all of your friends and family members to where they can keep up with all of the new and interesting things that are going on in the world of Next Stage Press and with playwrights in general. One of the best places to start, I think, is going to be basically just giving a little bit of history with the company. It's always tricky when you're starting a new play publishing company, especially when you're sort of competing against the likes of Samuel French or Dramatist Play Service, which have been in existence for 80 to over 100 years, respectively, depending upon which one you're talking about. Dramatist being established back in the 1940s and Samuel French being established back in the 1800s. Trying to come up with a new way to get the company out there is always tricky. So one of the things that I think it would be best to start off with is just kind of explaining where the company came from. Next Stage Press was started in 2009, and it was started by myself, of course, because I got sick and tired of the red tape that writers had to jump through in order to try to get their plays out there in the world for people to see. As you always hear that, first productions oftentimes are the easiest to get, but it's always that second production that can be a little tricky. And I just sat down one day and I just decided, I asked myself the question of how many great plays are we missing? Just because the sheer number of plays that are published in a given year by Samuel French, Dramatist, and now PlayScripts, among others. There's other small publishers that are out there that are kind of doing their job to help playwrights out, but there's still thousands and thousands and thousands of plays that will never see the light of day again just because there's no outlet for them. So I decided that I wanted to create that outlet. And thus, in May of 2009, Next Stage Press was born. It started off with just basically my own catalog of plays, and believe it or not, there's still some of my plays that I haven't even gotten out there because they're not ready, of course, I feel like that they have just passed their time, and they probably will never be seen because, busy working on other plays and trying to shine a light for other playwrights. I'd be very interested, and anyone can email me at GeneCato@nextstagepress.net on perhaps some of the writers that we have in our catalog that you would like to hear from. The whole purpose is I want to try to see if I can push these writers out there and get people to be interested in the people, and respectively, I think that will help shine a light on the works. Some of the other people that I will be attempting to bring onto the podcast from time to time are directors or actors that have had the pleasure of directing or acting in some of the Next Stage Press plays that are in our catalog, and to sort of open them up and get them to talk about some of the experiences that they have with the work. A lot of people ask me, as far as Next Stage Press goes, and by the way, if you have not been to our website, please go to www.nextstagepress.net, and you can take a look at the entire catalog of plays that we have, which has grown leaps and bounds. I mean, in just four short years, we've grown to over nearing the 200 play mark, which is huge in as far as expanding the catalog. But I would really love to have some people that have worked along on some of these shows as well, and be able to give some insight into the developmental process that the plays go through, be that, you know, from the writing standpoint or actors and directors, if they're working on a play that was part of the, maybe they were part of the world premiere, and they could give a little bit of insight from the acting and directing side of things on what that was like, so that people can kind of peek behind the curtain on what goes into developing a new play. I'll start with a little bit of background on myself. I was educated at Sam Houston State University in Huntsville, Texas, which anyone that goes to school in or is considering going to school in the Gulf Coast region, I cannot recommend that school enough. It's basically a state school that is run almost like a conservatory in the way that they teach their students, and they've expanded out, adding a musical theater program, and they've had several connections with several different programs that are out of state that ultimately have led people to appearing on Broadway, believe it or not. And this is all coming from a state school, so that tells you about the quality of education that Sam Houston State University afforded everyone. And it was also instrumental at that time for me of being able to work on my own writing. When I went into the school in 1988, I immediately took a class from the late Dr. Thomas Sowar called Experimental Theater Production, and it was a wonderful class that was all about creativity, and there were several exercises and several assignments that we did that I still use today when I'm teaching students in the classroom that really, really, really are free up the creative process. And it gave me an opportunity to not only write, but have some creative spark and rework some of the shows that I had brought with me to Huntsville, Texas when I entered the program. And I think that the education that I got and the criticism that I got there kind of shape who I am today. And I'm forever grateful to two men in particular, that's Thomas Sowar and the late Dr. Jim Miller, who was the chair of the department the entire time that I was there. Very first show that I threw out there, which is not available through Next Stage Press, and I still have high hopes one day of turning it into a musical, was a play called An Incident in Iowa. And it was a takeoff on the old kind of B-films in Hollywood, sort of a cross between Plan 9 from Outer Space meets 10 Little Indians, set in a small town in Iowa. And kind of bizarre characters. It's amazing, whenever I went into the program, I just knew that the play was just ready to take the world by storm. And now looking back on it, it's really pretty sophomoric in a lot of ways. And despite all of my arguing over the years with Dr. Jim Miller about the quality of the work, I think now looking back on it as a almost 45-year-old man, I think that he was right on a lot of things. So who knows? Maybe one day I will pull An Incident in Iowa out and have it reworked into a musical, which I think would probably suit it better. However, in the experimental theater class, I did take An Incident in Iowa, and the work that I did with that in trying to learn exactly how to analyze and rewrite scenes led me directly into my next play, which was Lamp, which I think is a far it's a far better piece of work than An Incident in Iowa was, and it's directed by a wonderful director named Lisa Devine, who really brought an awful lot to the play, and just the creativity that she showed in staging it, even at that very early part in her career, was really something. I really kind of owe the play Lamp for the direction that I've gone, because the success of the show was basically staged as a fundraiser. It was produced by my father and the Alpha Psi Omega fraternity, which is the Alpha Psi Omega, for those of you that are listening to this that may not know, it is the theater fraternity that is on many colleges. They have many chapters on many colleges. But it was a fundraiser for us, and my dad helped produce it, and we did got a fantastic cast that really brought the play to life and really kind of lit the way for me to just see what this whole writing process could be. Lamp has not been performed since the original production, and who knows, maybe it's time to try to blow the dust off of it and see if there's anybody out there that would be interested in producing it again. But it was a lot of fun. The audience really had a good time with it. And it was basically an adult version of the old Aladdin's Lamp tale, and where the main character Jerry gets five wishes. He gets a lamp for Christmas, and then inside the lamp, of course, it's a genie, and he gets five wishes, which an odd number of wishes can severely get you into trouble, and the wishes don't really go as he planned, and things get awry rather quickly, and things kind of start spiraling out of control for him. And it was reviewed well, and the cast had a good time, I believe, and it was a really good experience. It was really something special. What followed Lamp was a play that I have that has had sort of a production done for it called Bill's Back. Bill's Back was written in 1993, I believe it was, and basically it's a four-character play in which a writer is struggling with writer's block. Now, I know that's, you know, what... What writer has not written about a writer not knowing what to write? I think that's kind of a staple of every playwright. At some point, you have to write. They say write about what you know, and many writers a lot of times stick with not knowing what to write about. So that's what they end up writing about. Well, Bill's Back was my story for that, and it is about a playwright named Barry Plummer who is. Struggling with writer's block, and he is not a fan of the classics, really, and particularly does not like Shakespeare, and he ends up conjuring the ghost of Shakespeare to sort of be the house guest that won't leave. He's undergoing an enormous amount of emotional turmoil in his life, and the question is really there as to whether or not it is actually the ghost of Shakespeare or whether everything is happening in Barry's mind. It's one of the nice things about that production is it's kind of open for interpretation in spots as to whether or not he's being haunted by the ghost or if he's making all of this up out of emotional duress. Bill's Back was produced in a kind of a short version of it at Whitney High School in Whitney, Texas, and from what I understand from the director, the show ran somewhere between 28 minutes and an hour and 40 minutes. Because apparently the actor that was playing Shakespeare at the time, whenever they would get in trouble on stage, the only thing he knew was to jump to his last speech, and there was a performance that happened. The 28-minute performance one character was completely cut out of the show because they got lost and they just jumped to the end. This was another one that was that Dr. Sowar was really influential on with me because he read it and he really loved the pseudo Shakespearean dialogue. The character of Shakespeare kind of speaks in this pseudo Shakespearean talk, and it was one of those things with a man like him that was heavy into theater history and things like that. He really kind of, being a product of the 70s that he was, I guess I would say he really kind of dug it. So that was nice. Right after Bill's Back, it led into a few plays that I wrote that are that have been productionless because they've been in drawers for years. They're not ready. One of them is a play called A Game of Risk, which is a comedy about soap opera writers, and it still needs some work and some rewriting, and that's on the it's on the horizon to actually pull that back out and get some actors together and try to see if we can fix that, because that play employed, I wanted to find out if I could put as many twists and turns into a particular play as possible, so the play twists and twists and twists and twists and twists and twists and twists until you don't know really what's real and what's not. But A Game of Risk is still kind of under development. And there's another one, which was a drama that I wrote called Sunset on Smoky Mountain, which was almost produced by Alpha Psi Omega when I was at Sam Houston, but it ultimately ended up being scrapped because we lost the location that we were going to use to mount the show, so it had to be scrapped. But Sunset on Smoky Mountain is a family drama that takes place in Tennessee, in which a domineering father figure is kind of putting the screws to his son and his daughter-in-law while they are reeling with their daughter kind of suffering from leukemia. So Sunset on Smoky Mountain is another one that might be pulled out of the drawer at some point and reworked. Some of the other shows that have been pretty popular with me, it's kind of funny because the most popular two shows that I've ever had were shows that I never really intended on them to get produced. But they still kind of stand out. I'll start with the older one that had the most recent production in Houston, a play called Viral Infection. Viral Infection was a play that I wrote when I was in college that I was just kind of playing around with absurdist theater and trying to write the most absurd thing that I possibly could. Never in a million years did I think that this thing would be produced. And as a matter of fact, I was working on it in the experimental theater production class, and I ended up abandoning the project because I thought the first 28 pages were unstageable. And lo and behold, earlier this year, the Cone Man Running Productions in Houston, there was one of three plays that we were going to stage down there because they wanted to do one of my works. So the three that I pulled out were Bill's Back, Maui Wowie, which I just absolutely love, and Viral Infection. I threw Viral Infection there basically as a joke, never in a million years thinking that they would pick it, because what human being in their right mind would? After the auditions, I was informed that was the one that we were going to do, and my heart sank whenever we got into that, because I, not only because I wanted to do a Maui Wowie in my heart, but I thought, oh God, I've already tried this once, and I don't know that this can be staged. So, with a lot of work, we kind of started working on the play in February and in Houston, and lo and behold, we found out that it could be staged, and it ended up being an audience and critical success. So I found out the moral of the story as you go through is you don't necessarily always know your own work. And that's been a big lesson for this year for me. So it was an absolutely zany work. It had to do with the richest man in the world, or one of the richest men in the world, that is suffering from a strange virus. And all of the best doctors have been unable to cure him. So the family employs the two worst doctors in the world, a complete idiot from Queens with a multisyllabic last name, and a Indian chief that we're not even really sure if he's a real Indian or not. Anyway, the cast had a great time. I surprisingly had a great time, and the show was a huge success. It was nominated for Best Play in the Houston area by Buzz Belmont, and who wrote for Cron.com. It ultimately ended up losing to a wonderful new play called Exit 27, but the mere fact that it was, as far as Buzz was concerned, one of the top two new plays of the year really surprised me. So perhaps there is worth in that after all. The other one is a play that I'm hoping that I can get a reunion together and have on a future podcast, which was Ten Pin Alley, which was done in Denver, Colorado in 2008. 2008, 2009. Maybe, I don't know. I can't remember. It was either 2008 and 2009. But it was written basically as a joke because I had written a play called, it must have been 2009 that we did it. Because in 2008, we staged my play 18 Holes, which at that time I thought was my opus. And so afterwards I thought, well, I'll just continue writing sports stuff. And so I wrote Ten Pin Alley basically as a joke. Because I went bowling one night and I was sitting there with my ball, or standing there with my ball about to roll it. I thought, I wonder what those pins are thinking. So I wrote this extended one-act play that was basically a game of bowling. And all of the pins had various personalities, and the audience just went crazy over it. It was a huge financial success, and no one was more surprised than me at the response to the play. So anyway, that's kind of, I just wanted to give a little bit of background on myself in this first one. Obviously, I will be bringing in other people in the future, and but this was a good way to kind of throw some of the things out there and just say hello to everyone out there. So please, if you would, if you haven't been to the website, go to www.nextstagepress.net and check it out. And check back with this podcast from time to time. And thanks for listening.